Then Hashos Avreichem on page Samach Tes on the bottom. Hamachazig is Mashavta Yudemiyonu L'Kedusha V'Lavoyde. A person who's Mechazig, who strengthens his Mashava, his thoughts, V'Demiyonu in his imagination, L'Kedusha V'Lavoyde, and Avodas Hashem, as V'Chlal Kol Avodosim Reish Kol Dargin Al Sofa D'Chol Dargin Shabai Acherisi. A person who uses and strengthening his machshavas, his thoughts, Avodas Hashem, is avoided from the beginning till the end. Everything is totally different. Chutz mizeh shayichelus shelo yaseir v'chazaki hi me'asher b'zolosa. Besides that, the person who is who's mechazik is machshava. That his avoid is stronger. He says Shiyachal Yosef Limshal Alatzmai, that he has this advantage, as we were talking about last week, Limshal Alatzmai, to control himself. He's not a person that's just left up to moods and changes and things that are happening around him. He's a person that's Mechazik as Machshava. He lives inside his brain. He lives inside that place, and he's Mechazik his thoughts. It's not just this happened to me and that happened to me and that's why I couldn't help myself and so on. He has this chayzik ha-machshava to be able to control himself. Limshal al-atzma. In addition to that, that he has that advantage over another person who doesn't use machshavas chazakis. In addition to that, yachal huyoysel ahargish esisragshi esnapshe. He's able to be more attuned to the hisrakshias, to his emotions. A person who, people generally categorize individuals into two types: the thinking types and the feeling types. What the Rebbe's explaining is that when a person trains himself to have machshavas chazakas, to use his mind, to focus, and to contemplate, and to meditate, and to deepen his thought, and to focus on a certain inyan or a certain hergish. So that will yochel yosel ahargish esrag shi'as nafsho. He'll be able to feel more of his emotions. And yochel hu yosel hislahev. And he'll be able to experience more his slavas, because through these machshavas and through these dinyanis, he'll be able to megala, he'll be able to reveal more of his soul. Even the simple avayda that everybody's avayda, gam kol teva, the simplest mitzvah, and the simplest avayda, and avaydas Hashem becomes different when a person has is machazik is machshava. Gam kol teva shumaitzim yipiv. Next page. Every betfila, every word that comes out of his mouth by davening. Acheresi miyashe b'zulosa. It's a different way of davening. It's a different way of davening. L'moshul. Ata bochav avreich leisia ki'ish asharadosa mufshata. Chutz mimenu l'mayla mimenu bilvad. Ragam bim koimcha avidoscha tehe nimtza. He says, he's talking to Moshel, he says, a bocher and an avreich. He says, leisia ki'isha shavadoso mufshata. But he says, even if you're not a person whose avodas Hashem is mufshata, mufshata means that it's with a hispashtus that the person is able to Ramish let go of this world. Chutz mimenu l'mayla mimenu b'levad, which is it's mufshata, meaning it's abstract. It's something outside of him. Chutz mimenu l'mayla mimenu b'levad. Ragam b'mkaimcha avadoscha tehin nimtza. In your place, you'll be able to, where you are in your matziv, you'll be able to be an Eved Hashem. He explains. Ata ish mamashi, utzvicha gam avadas chaliyaz gam b'mamish b'kibbecha b'sivyos cholifanecha. You're not a person who who can be on that madrega, who is ready for that madrega. You are an ish mamoshi yitzricha gam v'dosliyas gam b'mamish. Your avodah has to be practical and has to be mamish b'kir b'cha b'svivas chol fanache, in yourself, in your present state. Misha min moichai rakes adas b'lvad v'maitzi uboi oivet l'daitai l'hovin seichel b'lvad b'tayr af b'kabal v'chassidus. He says that person whose entire avodah Hashem is l'daitai, is something which is only in his mind, it's only a matter of the intellect. Then he says, and to understand Torah and Kabbalah and Chassidus, then all of his avodas Hashem as kol avodas moichav liba rak b'havanihi. All of your avodas Hashem is only with havan. It's only a matter of understanding of the intellect. Ukshaymekil chasicha kol berch tishova koloshen. And when you say the lishainus of davening, like in Shabbos, kil chasicha kol berch, that all are bowing down to you, Hashem, that all are falling in your presence. When you say halus Hashem and Hashemayim, halu b'amrayim, halu kol malachav, kol tzavav, shemesh v'yach, kol koich v'yor, gam b'zerak havonig yidiyah oilalai. All it is something that you understand in your mind. Raktevas yesh on the funav. All you have are words in your siddur. V'maven es perush on perush amilus levad. And the highest level of kavana that you can come up with, that you can imagine, is just understanding the words. So the words say that the aim, that halus Hashem and Hashemayim, that the angels, the malachim, the sun and the moon and everything and the stars, but these are all just words, and you're trying to understand what the words mean. And all of the books and all of the different manuals that translate and explain are all helping with the kavana of the perush amilas. But all of it, he says, remains kaven shirak seichel v'yidia haitzim in moichai. The only thing that you've been able to extract is a thought. It's all completely a thought. It's in your mind. All of your avodas Hashem is not an avodas shebelev. It has nothing to do with your emotions. It's purely a matter of things that you're thinking about, what these words mean, and deeper meanings of the words. Because you're living in this world. You're not mufshat. You're not somebody that's outside the world. You're living in this physical world. But the davening, but the whole davening is something which doesn't reach into your world. It doesn't affect you in your world. It's something which is in your mind. It's not part of reality. In other words, he's saying, learning in the second chelik, if you look in the second chelik of Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, in the second chelik at the beginning, there's a mimer on Yisrael v'kutshabrichu chosn v'kala. The beginning, Yisrael v'kutshabrichu chosn v'kala. So he explains there, says the Medrash says, that there was a woman that asked Rabbi Yossi bar Chalavta, how long did it take Hashem to create the world? He said 6 days. And what's he doing since then? So many of you know what the Medrash says, that since then he's mezavik zivugim. He's making matches. He's mezavik zivugim. So all the mefarshim, everybody's asking, what does that mean that the Baruch Hashem is mezavik zivugim? That's what he's doing since Chesed Shemei Bereishis. He's making zivugim, he's making shiduchim. What does that mean, b'chlal? And all the Mepharshim explained that it's obviously talking about on a much deeper level. It's not talking about just making matches between a chasen and kala, but our relationship between Kutshabrichu, between Hashem and Knesset Yisrael, that Hashem is the chasen and Klai Yisrael is the kala, and being mezavik zivugim. What does that mean to be mezavik zivugim? So he explains like this. Besides what it means in Kabbalah, he says just in a very simple way, which we were talking a little bit about last week. He said that if a shadchan, there's a bocher that it's come time, he's looking for a wife, and it's come time, he goes to speak to a shadchan, and the shadchan says to him, I have a gewaldige, gewaldige shidduch for you. I have a terrific shidduch for you. And all the milas and everything fantastic. And he says, so the bocher asks, well, could you tell me, could you, what's, what are her milas? You know, where does she come from? What's her name? And like, can you tell me about her? So he says, no, what I have is, this idea that I have for you is absolutely unique. So he says, I get so excited. So what's this, what do you have? What's this idea? So he says, I have a zivik for you, a shidduch for you, with the idea of the girl. I just have this idea. Notice, there's no girl. There's no girl. It's just this idea. And he talks about the idea that it's gevaldik and all the milas and this idea. But there's not anything, it's not anybody really to introduce him to. It's not anybody that exists. It's just the idea. So the Bilvavim Shkenevna says that the person who would hear that would say that the guy's a Meshigana. But he didn't go to the Shadchan to hear about a concept. He went to the Shadchan because he wants somebody that he could share his life with and he could talk to and they could have children and they could build a home. And the Shadchan says, well, listen to this idea that I have and now go out in your life and make for yourself a beautiful life. This is the idea. And I want to wish you Mazel Tov. You should live till 120 with this idea, this concept, and everything should go well. This is from Meshigana. I can't. Even though in the Sramach Kedoshim there is such an inyan of having a zivig with the thought, but that's not what this bracha was looking for in his life. You know, he wants to have a mishpach and he wants to go, wants to build a life for himself. So he said that he'd be like a mishigan of this shadchan in his eyes. And yet, so the Vavi talks about this, and yet, when it comes to our relationship with the Shemesh Baruch, it's purely a concept. And it can remain purely a concept. Since Hashem Baruch describes in Tanakh, in many, many, many places, that his relationship with us is Chasen and Kala. And the whole Sefer of Shir Shirim is Chasen and Kala. And he was Megala through, he revealed through the Chachamim, that since Maaseh Bereishis, all the Baruch Shalom is doing is he's trying to be Mezavik Zivukim. He's trying to connect to us. He's trying to have a Shidduch, a Zivik. That's all he's doing since Maaseh Bereishis. He's struggling with David with who? With Knesset Yisrael. Kutshubichu Knesset Yisrael. L'shem yuchu kutshubichu Shchinte is Knesset Yisrael. It means with every Jew. The Baruch Shalom is Mizavik Zivukim. He's trying to make this Zivik. So the same way that when it comes to a Chasen and Kala, to a boy and a girl, that no Kala or no Chasen would say if you just told him that you don't have to, there's no actual person, it's just the concept of a person. And you know what, you'll be doing a lot better because it's so much, it's a lot cheaper. And you don't have to take a hall, and you don't have to get flowers and musicians, you don't have to, you know, you don't have to clean up or take out the garbage. Everything is much just a concept. But you could be happy, the two of you together, you with this concept could live to 120 and it's without any, you know, any problems. It's without any problems. So, that's not called a zivig. That's not called a chasna. The person's crazy. That's not called a chasna. And yet, the Bilvavi Mishkanet says, and yet, if we look at ourselves, so the Baruch Shalom says that since my separation is Mezavik Zivugim, the whole shayrish of a zivig in this world was from Adam and Chava, and Adam and Chava, the Baruch Shalom Davke didn't make them as two separate people, but he Davke made them l'chadchila that Chava was from within Adam, or connected to Adam, etzem ha'atzamai, basim ibsari, a bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh, ha'isha shenasati imadi mamish, that Adam Arishan, the Motza Eze, the Kenegda, Lenegdai, so the Baruch Shalom put him to sleep and created Chava from within him. That means that what? That means that the Baruch Shalom created us, created Adam and Chava, that the first zivug is the shorish of all zivugim, that a person's wife is not just another person, a person that you're introduced to, and somebody that's very, very nice, and you have a lot in common with, and you like to talk to, but it's mamish etzem atzamai, basim ibsari, ha'isha shenasati imadi, mamish, me'ish lukach hazayis, from within oneself. That's what a zivug is. So that a person shouldn't have a concept of his wife or concept of her husband, but this is who I am. This is Be'etzem, who I am. So too, since Ma'aseh Bereishis, the Baruch Shalom is Mezavik Zivugim. And yet, when it comes to the Baruch Shalom, when it comes to davening, when it comes to being a Jew, most of us, till 120, the best we do, the best we live with is the concept of Yiddishkeit. I mean, we do the mitzvahs, but we don't have this hergish, this feeling of etzem atzamai and basim yibsari, this feeling that the Baruch Shalom is part of me, and this inseparability, and the hergish, and the feeling of having a Baruch Shalom that's mamish in your life, as opposed to just the idea of the Baruch Shalom, even though, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not anything physical. And Chas and Kala, they're two physical beings. But the marshal in Tanakh of Chas and Kala with Kutcher Bichu and Knesset Yisrael means that the Baruch Shalom is a chelek elokom, and each and every Jew is a chelek elokom yimal mamish. And our davening wasn't meant to be that we're here in this world, and we're talking about God who's in another world. And we're davening about God or talking to God who's someplace in a different place. The whole Avodas Hashem, is in this was meant to be in this way of zivug, of mezavig zivugin, that should be with this hergish. It should be with a feeling of connection that this is etzem atzamai and basam yibsari. This is who I am. But what the Rebbe is saying here is kevin shirak seichel v'yidia haitzim meicha. It's all seichel v'yidia. My whole Yiddishkeit is just a concept. It's just a seichel v'yidia. But not really something which is mamish in my life that I feel. It's a seichel v'yidia, and that's why it's very hard. It's very hard to be connected to that, to feel anything, to feel any connection to that. That's why when it says v'yadata hayoyim v'ashevayis elavavecha v'yadata is a lashon of chibur v'hadam yoda is chavisho. It says in all this form v'yadata means a chibur, means that there's a feeling of connection. So how is a person supposed to be oved Hashem, to serve Hashem in a way that it's with his entire being here in this world, not just that he's here in this world with all of his taivas, with all of his narishkeit, but he spends 40 minutes in the morning, a couple minutes in the afternoon and night, talking about the concept of God, or learning about the concept of God, or having a machshav, a thought about God, as opposed to being living with him, right? So you could say it's the same thing like with the shadchan. When you look at the siddur, so the siddur is a shadchan. The siddur says, "Kel hagod lagibah v'hanayra." He's got all alamailas, got god lagibah v'hanayra, right? All these beautiful things that the shadchan says about the Baruch Shalom. The siddur is telling us all of Hashem's mailas. Every time you learn Torah, it's talking about our zivik, about the chasen. He's got all of these milas. all of these milas, after all of these years, we're still just talking about the chasen, but we don't have the zivik with the chasen. We don't have a hiskashis with the chasen. Don't have a relationship with the chasen. So it's just as crazy as the shadchan who tells the bocher, here's an idea about a kala, and just go ahead and live the rest of your life with the idea about the kala. But what do you mean? Where's my kala? How could I can't talk to her? I can't share my life with her? Do you share your life with the Baruch Shalom? Have you built a life together with him? Or is just you have your life, and the Baruch Shalom is a concept. It's this thought, and it's sometimes a very annoying thought. Get up. Don't do this, do this. Right? You have people, their whole inyan is just, everything is only the teres machshava, not that anything real. You have a person that could be married. We spoke about this many times. A guy's married, and they're sitting, you know, they're sitting there in the movie theater, Chas v'Shalom, and they're watching this romantic movie and he's getting all into this movie. It's beautiful. It's such, it's unbelievable. And she's saying to him, "I don't feel well. You know, I really would like to go home." And he says to her, Will you stop hacking me already? I'm trying to concentrate on this. This is a very important thing. Stop hacking me. You're making me crazy. You can manage another 3 or 4 hours, dude, doesn't it? You don't have to hack me. And then he goes back to this and he looks at how people love each other. He says, I think I'm going to pass out. He says, okay, so you start, I'll wake you up when it's finished. And it doesn't have... The whole thing is, his whole life is only about ahava. There's no ahava for this person. What do you have to get? That whole, we were talking about, I was talking about this yesterday, how we were doing the Bilvavi. So a person grows up in the movies and the books and all this, the yoinis, all these different yoinis, and everything is just, it's a big rachmanis because he has to go to find out, to see about what it means to love somebody, about. So there are a couple of guys in a studio someplace, you know, in Hollywood, and they're making this film, and you have your husband and wife that haven't said a nice word to each other for the last 50 years, and they're looking at the screen and saying, oh, it's a gewaldige thing. Ahav is a gewaldige thing. But that, because their whole marriage is only a concept. The marriage is only a concept. Ahav is a concept. And people pay billions of dollars to hear about the concept, to read about the concept, to watch the concept unfold. That's it. But to have yourself to experience that relationship with that Hashem is mezavik zivugim, and that's your zivik. No. So a person could watch this thing, and he could tell his zivik that the Baruch Hashem is mezavik to him. Leave me alone. And that's why people get lost in all these dinyanis, because everything is a concept, and then they try, God forbid, to live out the concept someplace else, chas v'shalom. And the whole thing with the television, with the internet, and all the movies, books, and all of these things, it's all such a rachmanis that people can't really love. They have difficulties loving and difficulties feeling ahava, so they surround themselves only with dinyanis and concept and pictures, but not the etzem, not the etzem. Emotionally, they're crippled. And to the extent that a person is buried under piles of all of these concepts of love, of other people love, watching people love each other, talking about people love each other, hearing about people, but to that extent, he has difficulty loving himself, having a hergish himself. It's all a concept. It's all yediyah in the mayach. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. I've interpreted Rebbe's words on Tisha B'Av. Rebbe always says that it's not really Rebbe's desire to give explanations for the tefillos we're about to say, but it's more important to actually say the tefillos. So my interpretation, as Rebbe is saying that, is that the tefillos that we're actually saying when we're saying in Lashon HaKodesh we have no concept of what effect that has on our neshama. We're saying it in guf, you know, we're saying the words, but what it's doing out to neshama is so much more powerful and greater than any kind of words, lashonos, or any explanations that we could possibly attach to it. So I often think about when people open up a siddur and want to say a tefillah in English, I say, oh, that's very important, but I always remember what Rebbe says about saying those lashonos.
Much like Kaddish.
Right, and just saying the words, because at the end of the day, really it's an effect that will never really have a true effect from these words. No matter what explanation you give, will never give the same effect as Hashem.
See, you're right, though. That's what we're talking about. You see, the problem is that the translations and explanations are all terrific, but I don't feel that it's meant to be b'shas tefillah. See, we're using those explanations and translations to try to arouse within ourselves some hergish for Hashem, to try to feel something. So, if I just read the siddur, so I don't know what I'm talking about, and I don't feel anything. So, at least when I take out the siddur and I read in the siddur in English, and it says in such a way, so that can awaken, some sort of a hergish. So when the translation is used as a means of achieving a relationship with Hashem, it's a mistake. one can't rely upon translations to achieve a relationship with Hashem Yisbarach. Again, that's just a matter of understanding the words. It might cause a temporary little bit of a hergish, but that's not what's going to. It doesn't establish a relationship. A person has to be an Eved Hashem to work on having his kashrus, that there should be a zivig with Hashem. And then it's the act of speaking to the Baruch Shalom itself. It's the act of speaking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as the Rebbe has explained in the past, as we're going to see it again, speaking to the entire Bria and calling out to all of creation to join him in Avodas Hashem. It's a certain hergish. And as long as you are reading translations but you have no connection to Hashem, it's the same thing like reading about that kala. You're reading about the kala, so you understand what you're saying about all the milas of the kala that you're never going to meet. You're never going to meet the girl, but you're reading. They give you, like I see, there's some people now that they send out like resumes. The kala send that resume. So you got the potential kala. So you get the resume, and you're reading, and you know that's the autobiography. And you're reading this, you know, 750-page book about this girl, and you know, you'll never meet her. So the translations and the explanations are all very, very, very wonderful things, maybe for studying, for learning, and so on. But they don't replace. They could help, but they can't substitute for meeting the kala. And if you don't meet the kala, and you don't have an experience of the kala, so the words are, it's very nice because it inspires the imagination. Just like when you're watching a movie, you could be brought to tears over the romantic thing on the screen. So you could read the siddur in English, and you could be brought to tears. But it's about somebody else. It's not about you. How could that be? That's what the Baruch Shalom put us into the world. I don't know. We didn't use the word Har Sinai, but Dveikus Hashem. It says it's a mitzvah that's saying the Daraisa. I'm not sure what you mean. It says in the Torah, Uvay Sidbak. Look in the Sefer Mitzvahs.
It sounds like the way that
you
know, I try to put Hashem is you're trying to understand the way we can't touch him.
Okay. So that's what we have to keep on trying to learn, and to learn more and more and more, and to practice these things. And that the Baruch Hashem, that before Mashiach comes, that Hashem is allowing the tzaddikim to reveal to us these practices that for thousands of years were just spoken quietly between one Jew and another, but we're learning. See, we're not in our mind. We can't. How do you connect to something that's abstract, right? Which is why people build idols and watch movies and so on, because they want to. They have to see something and they have to feel something that's connected to something that's part of their reality. So the problem is, and this is what the Sefer is all about, and the Bilvad Mishkan Evin is all about, and there are many other Sfarim. And the problem is that mostly in the Sfarim it's in the Sfarim that we're not on a level to learn, or even in the Sfarim HaKadoshim there's a sentence here and a sentence there. The Rebbe began to put these things together. And in our times, Tzaddikim began to put these things together. But when a person learns from the Sfarim HaKadoshim, so then the person begins to realize that by using the Koyach HaMachshava, a Jew has a Chelek Elokav, as we've been learning, that Hashem Yisbarach, the Infinite One, is inside of us mamish. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the ability to experience that reality. But our way of experiencing reality until now is completely bound to touching and seeing and smelling and feeling and so on. We have to learn how to develop another way of experiencing reality. And that is what the Rebbe is talking about. All the Sfarim HaKadoshim are talking about being mechazik the machshava and being mechazik our dimyon. So until we learn how to do that,
it still sounds like we're in the world of Din. I thought we weren't supposed to use our Ramah. I thought it was something beyond that.
I think what he's troubled by is that Hasinai was Nasir and Ishmael. We had no clue what was going on. We saw the Eibishter, it was grand from us. We didn't need to understand Hashem's Torah to feel the Dveikus. Now, but Manazeh, we can't read the word without knowing what it is. If we don't understand the Pshat and Halacha and feel what the Tanaim Rambam are discussing and really understand what's going on, we have no Hargosha for this. We'll die. We can't read the words of Tefillah anymore. And have a, you know, saying the Rav Mishkan Etna is talking about the guy in yeshiva who's only learning for the wrong reason. He's not bringing the Rabbanim Shalom into the Torah. He's not doing it all together with the Basachas.
Right.
It actually says exactly what Yosef said, that that a person is going to that the Yetzer Hara lets you do mitzvahs, lets you learn Torah, and then what it does is it says, but that Dveikus, that's something that's lofty that we cannot experience, that oh, maybe after you die, maybe that's when we'll experience it. He won't let you get that Nakuda,
which is the Yesod of our entire existence in this world, is the Nakuda of Dveikus. In other words, I understand the difficulties, and that's, the Rebbe himself is talking about the difficulties we have, but That's what Dov is saying, and what David is saying. this Nakuda, this thought that we can't possibly connect in this way. That Nakuda itself is the Yetzer Hara that's preventing us from living out the tachlis of our lives. And going generation after generation, just talking about God, and learning about God, but not having a relationship with Him. The question is, are we capable of it? The Torah says, we not only are we capable, but that's the purpose of our creation. So, it can't be that we're not on that madrega anymore. But there was a hisgalus that took place, a revelation that took place at Har Sinai, that Hashem is Baruch. That Gili of Har Sinai, that revelation of Har Sinai inside of us continues. We just don't believe in that, or we don't experience it by standing in the desert with our sandals and, you know, and the question is, can we, on some level, can people even in our times, on our level, can we relive that, or can we enter into that type of relationship? The Torah says, absolutely. That's all the Sfarim HaKadoshim are about. That's the site of all of our Yiddishkeit.
I can see building a dinyan where you can picture yourself there, but like you're still not there.
That's because you're only having a dinyan about a dinyan. Right. You're not actually having a dinyan. So what do you bring me a rye? It's like, I don't know. It's, what does it mean? Were you ever in the Himalayas?
Right.
So what does it mean? You could read about it, and you close your eyes and you're in the Himalayas. What does that mean?
Even if you picture a place that you've been to in your mind, are you really there? You know, having things in your mind.
Yeah, you could definitely do that, but if you were never there, then you can't. You could just talk about the Himalayas. And maybe saw pictures, but it's all, you know, it's only dinyanis, mamish dinyanis. So that's something when a person says, how could that be? Can that really be? That there even is such a place, there is such a kind of a place in the world. So what if this guy that's sitting next to you, that he's a Himalayan? So he comes and says, what do you mean? Is that? That's, I come from that. I'm 10 dairies from that place. And he's saying, no, that place doesn't really exist. He says, I'm 10 dairies from that place. So the difference is that, you know, he lives there, so he can draw upon that thought because he's been there. But we've never been, if we've never experienced Dveikus to Hashem, when we look into our brains, just like a breeze, we don't know what to draw upon. So we think of translations. So you think of translations, Ashrei Yisrael V'Yisachar. So I'm better than the guy that has to read the English because I know what it means by heart. But that's not the tachlis of... That's not the tachlis of Dveikus to Hashem. So what was Hashem talking about? So the tzaddikim are telling us what Hashem's talking about. That's why I mentioned to you about that. I mentioned to you last year that there was that there was a marvel of Torah Chassidus that this Polish Yid wrote Eckstein. Any of you ever see that? It's been translated. It was translated around 7 years ago into English. Called Vision. It's a silly title. Visions of a something. What's it called? Of a compassionate world. silly title, but Visions of a Compassionate World. But ignore the title. The translation happens to be excellent. The sefer itself, Movel Taras Chassidus, has been out of print since Tavshin Chav Vav Chav Zayin. I had a little purple copy. I left it somebody. I don't remember who has gone. And if there's anybody here, please give it back. I really love that sefer. I don't know what happened to it. I used to have it in my drawer over here. I kept it separate. And I don't know. Movel Taras Chassidus. He wasn't a Rav, he wasn't known as a Talmud Chacham, he was a Chassidish Yid in Poland that was killed in the Holocaust. And he wrote a sefer. The entire sefer is just how to strengthen the machshavas and the minyanis, and how to build up. And how, but you see, the Rebbe was a Goyin and the Eloi, and the Rebbe was in this storm and ocean of his avaida, but this was a Polish Yid that was working on what the Rebbe was teaching. And there's no question he was from the same place. There's no question why he doesn't bring down. He hardly brings down from any Desfarma Gedoshim. He just gives exercises. You can get it. It's translated by Starrett, the one who does a lot of the breast of the Sfarm. And so I think it's in the stores. Visions of a compassionate world. Vision of a compassionate world. And there, it's mamish 1, 2, 3, 4, how to exercise, how to use the koyach hadimi and the koyach hamashav to put into practice the yisaidus from the Sfarm HaKadoshim. But it tells you how to get there. It tells you the address. How to get to these places. So when a person says there's nothing like that, it can't be. What does that mean? It can't be. How could someone say it can't be? That's only from your perspective it can't be. But as I said, it's a misunderstanding of the Raisa to be there. So if we haven't gotten there, then we have to just try to be humble and see if we can learn and try to put some things to use and to be a little bit, to try to be better, to try to get stronger in this thing, but not. Not to base our evaluations of our yichailus, of our capacity, but based upon our previous experience. That's you'll forgive me. That's a dumb thing to do. Like why should I judge my potential because of what I've had? Why, just because we're getting older? It was a waste of time until now. Not waste. I mean, we're doing mitzvahs and masam tov, but we didn't get to that place yet. So therefore, we can't say, well. I don't think it could really be. That's just not.
Can I ask, I've seen him telling you to be able to do it. I see him saying, like, don't use your intellect, but imagine that you're there. So kind of like that.
So Rabbi's not saying not to use our intellect.
It's like, yeah, it's like,
no?
No.
No, not at all. The Rabbi's not telling us not to use our intellect. He's just saying that the tachlis of Avodas Hashem is not only with the intellect. He says to use your intellect, to use your mind in order to deepen and strengthen the machshavas of kedusha, which we can do, which we have to try to do, and that's our avida. It's not easy, and he's been saying over and over again, it takes a long time. And if you look in the Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, so some people are learning this sefer, say, oh, he's repeating, he's saying this again, and he'll say it 1,000 times. And he'll probably come out with another 12 halakim, you know. But I already told them, we were talking about this a few weeks ago. Everything, it's all one thing. It's just chazing over, trying to bring us to that nekuda. That's all we can do, is to try to work on it.
I can understand how there's another level of trying to connect to Hashem that doesn't come through reading, and that's why we're learning and trying to get there. But when I come down to the intellectual level of English and Hebrew, I could certainly understand how there's something lost in translation. That once you know it in Hebrew, you know it in a higher level. But once you don't know it, or not before you know it in a higher level, how else can you encourage, teach, but doing it in a language somebody understands? I try thinking of the mashal the other way. If you try explaining the perspective kala to this chassan in a language he didn't understand, he would be even further in the dark.
Not true. Not if you met him. He wouldn't be. Our grandparents and great grandparents didn't understand the Siddur. Didn't understand. I'm not talking about Talmid Chum. All of us have in our lineage, you know, scholars here and there, a smattering of, you know, scholars. But for the most part, they were simple Jews that didn't understand the Siddur. They had very strong feelings for the chasm. How do you explain that?
But if you were to...
how do you explain that?
It could have been explained to them in their natural language.
They also didn't have past fifth grade. Who explained to them anything? All they told them was, go deliver the package.
So maybe that's the third level that we're trying to talk about here. But on the level of trying to communicate to a person, if they don't speak the language... How am I going to bridge a gap between you by saying, you know, you and Hashem, by saying, oh, keep looking into the Hebrew, as opposed to, all right, I'm going to give you instructions and hints and in your native language on how to connect.
Right, so certainly, I never said that we shouldn't be. I just said that you should learn those things and have a time for learning. Because learning is an experience of trying to understand, and therefore you put aside a 15 minutes or half hour of the day if you can to try to learn it, to write down words that are hard and so on and so forth. That's a process of learning. I'm just saying don't use that to substitute a relationship with God. That's all we're talking about. You're right. That's why we're learning Torah all the time, to understand. But avoda, serving the master of the world is not just... That's what I'm saying. Our grandparents and great-grandparents didn't understand, and yet they were able to serve God with great, great devotion. So there must be something going on.
You won't get there if you're not shoved along.
Right. So there was an experience of God's presence. So it's a way to look at the flower and see God, and it's a way to look at a child's face and see God.
Exactly.
And it's the other thing, like, you know, looking in the Siddur, and the Siddur says, it says instructions, and now like they put like these little things on the side. See God. But our grandparents never had instruction.
I don't understand what that has to do with the language. To me, that's a third level altogether. Whether you're teaching somebody in English or you're teaching somebody in Hebrew, this is a third level that, independent of the language, you're still trying to reach it. I can maybe understand from a Kabbalistic perspective, if you do it in the Hebrew, there's something happening that you don't know about. But it sounds like we have this third idea over here, if we want to have a connection. And whether it's happening in English and Hebrew, it sounds like it's not going to happen in Hebrew either. It has to be a...
That's right, that's what we're saying. In other words, we only talk about the translation as an example of a problem. But it won't happen in Hebrew either. Right, many of the people grew up in from homes and went to yeshivas, they're davening in Hebrew all their lives. And they might even know what it means. And they don't have to look in the translations. But that's also not creating a relationship with God. What I said before about if you met the kala, if you met the girl, so what's the level of communication between the two? So when there's no question that in the context of the relationship, to create a relationship, there has to be communication. The question that I said, but about meeting the person, is our thought that the main means of communication is by explaining one's view to the other is a mistake. That's not the tachlis of communication is not to explain one's view to the other, and that's why I always tell the chasanim and kalas to try not to spend so much time on the phone. There's no tachlis to be on the phone for a long time. Because you could spend 3-4 hours on the phone, usually you get into misunderstandings and fights and all kinds of crazy things. But if you'd be sitting next to the person, you'd be able to, with being in the mitzvahs of that person's four armas, then the Baruch Shalom gave us tremendous ability to communicate without having to say things, without having to explain things. If you have to explain things already, it's not such a good thing. So especially when you have a guy and a girl that they're trying to develop a relationship, so you ask them, so how are they supposed to know each other? They don't know, they're supposed to sit in a room and smile. So this is a big, big inyan, and it's not really for now, and it has to do with a lot of the misery and suffering that's going on between men and women nowadays, who thought that they understood each other completely. Didn't that couple that was engaged for 7 years, didn't they go through the art school and mitzvah the relationship together? You know what I mean? They already said billions of words to each other. not billions, they said certainly hundreds of thousands, not millions of words to each other over the past 7 years. And then they're married for 7 days, and then they're calling the rabbi for a get. How did that happen? Since they understand each other so much, and they spoke so many words to each other. And I'm saying they understand, they speak the same language. Everything's with translation. Everything's in translation. She's Israeli, he's American, but everything, she translates everything. She says, even linear. Shalom, hi. she translates everything. She translates everything. And it's gewaldig. Oh, it's gewaldig. And then at the end, they see that they don't have a kashrut at all. There's no kashrut at all. How do you explain that? They spoke hundreds of thousands, millions of words to each other. There's no kashrut.
Is that the same thing we're trying to figure out here?
Yeah. Because the kashrut doesn't depend upon words. The kashrut, that's part of... Certainly, when there's a hiskashus, then words could be very, very, very effective. Malchus is Tarish about Prab. I'm not saying God forbid that speech is not effective. It's murdic. Speech is unbelievable, and speech is one of the tools of strengthening our by repeating and saying things. Hamantiki adaber, hamantiki adaber, strengthening our hargeshus. That's for sure. But you can't create a relationship like that. Because then it could just exist in that place of dibur. But unless a person uses the, unless a person takes a word and goes, it's mamik the machshava and the machshava. The Rebbe is saying, and other tzaddikim are telling us how to live with the word. But just to say the words doesn't necessarily create a relationship. It might create the impression that there's a relationship. So this guy and girl are going out for 7 years, and they've spoken hundreds of thousands of times to each other, and they talk and they explain, and they've been through all the sugyas of who I am, and there's not one thing that he doesn't know about and she doesn't know about, and all of this stuff, and they still don't have a relationship. Doesn't mean anything, but it means very little. Obviously, there's something else that's there that hasn't connected. So all I was saying was that I'm saying that. Thinking, speaking, and all the translations, all of that is very, very important. It's all very important. We have to try to do all of that. That's why I wasn't in any way, Chas v'Shalom, in any way minimizing the importance of all of that. I'm just saying it's not a substitute for a relationship. Because it can still remain a concept. With all of the words that one speaks, it can still remain a concept. A lot of times, it's a very scary thing, because a lot of times there'll be a guy and a girl that are coming, and they're talking about, they're getting married and they're engaged and they're having certain inyonim that are not going so smoothly, you know, between them, and they're engaged. So they start to get very, very nervous. And it's very hard to tell, but there are many times that you could see with this chasna and kala that that's really not a problem in the kesha. It's a problem because they don't, in other words, there's not a etzim a problem, they're just not married yet. And they'll be married, and they'll be able to live together, and they'll be able to share their lives. So, in other words, because they're Baruch Hashem, because they have Yirat Shamayim, and they're trying to live the right way, and they're being careful to do things in a very beautiful and holy way, so the relationship is stuck in a certain level of a concept, right? Because the Baruch Shalom is Ratzon, the Baruch Shalom didn't want that guys and girls should share each other conceptually. You understand? He wanted that. A guy should have no shaykhus to another woman, except his mom, you know, grandmother, whatever daughter said, but no shaykhus. And then when it comes to getting married, so then two people bring you together, you go under the chuppah, and then you get married, then you live together. But what we have nowadays is that people have a concept. There's a concept of a kala, like we were talking about before. And it's not, it doesn't have a tfisa, it doesn't have a place in an achiza, in the olam hamayis, in the olam hasiya. So what happens is, sometimes you get a chasna kala, and they're talking about stuff, and you see that this is a terrible mistake. Hashem Yerachem. There's nothing there. It's just, you know, they're attracted to each other or something, but there's not really anything there. That could be the situations where it's just totally off. But then, in many situations, it's a very nice things in common, and they share a lot in common, and they have common goals and aspirations. So why are they having so many? What are they having so many problems in their relationship? Because it's a concept. So therefore, if they would be by a secular person, God forbid, or a psychologist, they go for so a psychologist would say, you know, you two guys, you gotta have something of more of a relationship. It's not enough just to, you know, it's not enough just to think about each other and to talk to each other about each other. You have to have a real kasha, which we know what that means. So that means tumah. That means tumah. So what happens in the situation that what we're now in, what we're now, when I say we, I mean this matzav of developing a relationship with a person by words and by through concepts and not through his kashrus that the Baruch Shem wants us to be miskasher in, so it makes for a lot of confusion. There's a lot of confusion. So people get married that should never get married, the people that should get married, they're not getting married. Because they're having inyonim in the world of concepts. And then there are people that they're not getting married, that Nebuch, they're walking around by themselves and they're not getting married. And when you talk to them after 15 minutes of discussion, you see that it's a big rachmanis. They're looking for the right words, for somebody to say the right words. So what is there if there are not words? So it goes back to what Yosef was saying, that we don't know how to connect by taking even if it's two or three words, but with a koyach hamachshava to be able to use our ability to envision, to imagine, and to be mamik our machshava, to be able to connect on a deeper level without having to have so many diburim, so many words. So the translations should be studied. And for a person, if a person is, obviously it's better than, God forbid, than nothing, but the tachlis was not that Hashem wanted us to have a relationship with Him that's just, you know, understanding words. That's what the Rebbe is saying. And it's just, then his whole tefillah and his whole avodah nishar b'yediyah v'hasagah b'levad. Then your entire avodah Hashem is just something that you're thinking about, just that you know about. And it's the malami matter, but it's not you, it's outside of you. Because you're living in the real physical world. And your davening is part of the is an abstract thing. Your whole relationship to God is abstract. That's why what happens? Your relationship to Hashem is abstract. But your relationship with another taiva is not abstract, right? Like we spoke about last week. In other words, you have this yeshiva bacha that, you know, he is doing really well, and then you know, he meets this girl, God forbid, and he ends up, you know, doing things he shouldn't do. So how did that happen? What happened? How did he leave his zivig with Hashem? It seems so not nice. You married Hashem since Bereishis. You just met this girl like a half hour ago. And you're ready, you know, you forget it, you close the Gemara, is, what Gemara? What yeshiva? How did that happen? You're married to the Baruch Shem for thousands of years, and to this girl, you know, you just... So the answer is that your relationship to Hashem is completely abstract, but this girl, you know, she looks nice in a skirt and makeup and everything. So, I'm sorry, Baruch Shem, you know, it was nice while it lasted, but, you know, I'm ditching you, because I found my true love. So then, when it comes to any aveir, that's what happens. How are any of us able to abandon Hashem for something else? The teretz is, my relationship to God is abstract, and my desire for this thing is very tangible, very real. So in order for us to be big, big tzaddikim, we have the choice. Either we make a world that's totally, we disappear and we go someplace and hide, that the world is no longer a real world, or we change our relationship with Hashem from being abstract to being something which is experiential. And when a person's relationship to Hashem, you know, if you go over to, you know, to a tzaddik yisad olam, and you say to him, you know, there's an interesting, you know, movie, I won't tell anybody, maybe you want to see it. It's like talking to somebody, it's like going to somebody that's in love with this kala, and they're standing there under the chuppah, and you go over to whisper him and say, maybe, you know, I have a shidduch for you or something. You interested? I have a cousin of mine. Maybe, how do you mind? Because his relationship is not abstract to something in his life. It's real that he knows, and he cares for deeply. But if your relationship with God is an idea, it's an abstract idea, then how does an idea prevent you from falling into something that you could smell and touch and see? It's very hard. So that's what we have to do in our lives, and that's the meaning of Dveikus, is to somehow use all of our senses, our eyes, our ears, our noses, our mouths, everything, our bodies, our physical beings. That's the side of the whole Torah of Baal Shem Tov, that this physical world should not contradict God, because God is not abstract. He's something we can't touch, God forbid. But a person's experience of Hashem in the mind and the heart can be, it sounds to us like it's odd. That's what Yosef was saying before. How can it be? It can't be. That our experience of God is more real than the taiva, than that thing of the physical world that's sitting next to you, that's pulling you away from God. Now, we can't imagine what that is. How could you make God that interesting? So this doesn't sound that interesting. Right? That a person, so when we hear that, you know, that the Baditshuva fasted 2 days Yom Kippur, you know, we can't be masig what that means. Not just because physically we're weak, because we know that we're forced ourselves to fast, and that we would like not to fast. It's not but the rut by the Baditshuva, the Ratzon Hashem was so real, was so strong, was so tangible to him that it wasn't a steerer to him, it wasn't something that was in any way tempting for him. It wasn't something that tempted him, because how could I leave this real experience of the Rebbeinu Shlomim for something so meaningless as a piece of bread, which when we hear that we say, oh, no. Bread is meaningful. Bread is meaningful, and God is an idea. I can't live by thinking about God, but I'm hungry. I know that I'm hungry. That people, not to feel any pain at all, that tzaddikim that feel no pain at all in their suffering, b'chlal, not any pain at all, to experience no pain. We don't know what that means. Because they're living, a person could live, so to say that we're not, to think that we're not capable, we're definitely capable. Every one of us is capable of it. And we're not saying that we're going to come to these madrigas of the tzaddikim, even though that's an aspiration, but to come to the big, 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 big madrigas, but to come to something of the edge of that avaida, that certainly is something which is not only within our reach, but it's our achrayis to try to do that. But and not only that, but the time has come for us to do it, because you see that in our generation the Baruch Shalom didn't leave us with just to have the Naim Elamelech and Kedushas Levis and Tanyas and to figure out like, well, what do I do with all of this? But as I said last week, that the Baruch Shalom is sending us even Jews who are taking us by the hand, and they're trying to help us in this last generation how to use the Sarma Kedoshim and how to use our way, our minds, in order to come to this Avaida, which to our grandparents and great-grandparents, having feeling the presence of God was something which is as real as any feeling, any other feeling on earth. But to us, for reasons that are not important for now, it's so distant. So because of that, there's a hashgacha pratis. Our grandparents didn't have the achshav salvation, and they didn't have these svarim that are Baruch Hashem that are now available in these. They didn't have it because they had that. They lived in a certain kind of a relationship, and they didn't have those kinds of. They didn't have. Remember that they weren't living in a. They weren't living in really in a audio-visual experience of reality like we are. They're living in. You know, they saw like a couple of streets in their lives. That's all they saw. Like the real daring ones went to Vienna maybe once or something, but otherwise, they saw very little. Their whole scope of life was so limited to very, very few things that there were very few things that they saw. By the time somebody's 10 years old, now, by the time someone is 10 years old, he's like been all over the universe. He's been all over the universe. He's seen a billion things and millions of people on the television. He's seen like all other, you know, things in this world, out of the world. So it's very, very different than it. It's very different than it used to be. Very different. All right, it's light. We'll continue the show next week.